Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With Rhys Darby and Dan Schreiber.
That.
I've never seen something like this in the woods in my life. It's like a tree that's moving.
It's like a sentient tree. It's trying to talk to us. It's got a sort of New Zealand twang to its screaming. Guys?
Stabs, is that you?
Oh my God, Buttons!
I know it's the genuine Rhys because the second he woke up, the tree made a squeaky door noise. The sound of Darby. It couldn't be anything but.
Where have you been? It's been like 1,000 years.
1,000 years?
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is ridiculous. Come on, we've got to carry on with the show. Quick, let's do fan files.
Fan files.
Stay away from that trap door.
Because there's something down there.
Okay, what do we got?
Here's a handful of stories that have been sent in from some wonderful cryptid knights. Jen has sent in, does the Megalodon still exist? Some news of huge sharks there.
Okay.
Tom Hodden, who's very, very prolific in his news sending, which we love.
Oh, yeah, we know Tom.
Thank you, Tom. He sends in big cat sightings in both Wales and Norwich.
Brilliant.
Okay.
There's also a fresh Bigfoot sighting that also has some video of the Dogman sighting in the article, so that's exciting.
Oh.
And then also Misty sends in big cat loose in Long Island in New York.
Lots of cats.
Lots of cats.
I mean, I love the big cat stories. Let's do the Sasquatch one because they're far and few between these days.
Okay, so the official title here is from the Mirror, so it's going to be legit. Spate of Bigfoot sightings sparks new theory that mythical beast could be real.
No shit, Sherlock.
A photograph of a mysterious figure has caused a farm manager to quit his job after numerous supposed Bigfoot sightings in the area whilst animals on the farm have been going missing.
Ooh, right. I like that. I mean, not for them, but the idea of it.
So he's quit his job.
He's quit his job.
Donnie Hicks is his name.
Donnie Hicks owns a farm in Tennessee, in USA, obviously, where a spate of Bigfoot sightings recently have been made, including a half-man, half-dog creature. Remember we covered that in a couple of episodes ago? There was the Dogman sighting.
There was a picture, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Or was it a video of, that looked like Dogman?
Oh, yeah, walking behind a fence, right? A perimeter of some sort. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and then there was the one of it from the boat, from the water. Anyway, so Donnie Hicks, he says he was unnerved recently when he noticed that animals were going missing from the farm, and he couldn't explain what had happened to them. But then he saw the creature with his own eyes. He has no idea what it is, but he's scared for his own life. And one witness called it El Diablo Yeti. And he's now shared a picture of the beast with Bigfoot theorists in the hope of identifying the huge bipedal animal. Now, he's got a photo of it here. It's a very classic cryptid photo. It's blurry. There's no detail. Literally looks like some kind of a twig.
Oh, my God.
What could that be? A tree stump? If you were shown that and no one had said what that was, what is that?
To explain it to listeners, there's a fence line. There's a paddock. The photo is quite wide. And there is a white shape which looks like, if you like, the sunlight hitting the back of a figure, and it's got a bent elbow and hand down by its side, and it's supposedly Bigfoot, you know, backlit.
It's like he's standing upright, but he's got his hands either on his hips or in his pockets.
Yeah, yeah, but the problem is, if that is the head, then that is the bottom of the arms. You can see through the fence, and there's very short little legs.
You'd think
the legs would be coming down to the bottom post rail or something like that.
He's further away.
Or he's further away, and that little black thing is not his legs.
As long as the feet are big. The legs can be short.
That's true.
They're not called big legs. My God, there's a big legs. No, it's Bigfoot.
Anyway, taking to Facebook, Donnie wrote, "I am new here, but something is going on in the middle of Tennessee with several alleged and rumored sightings of Bigfoot."
I'll just stop you there. Donnie, as he's taking to Facebook, says, "I am new here." I mean, where's Donnie been that he's new to Facebook? That's suspect for a start. "Hello, just checking in with the internet here. Brand new for me. I'm going to give it a whirl. Here's a picture of a regular-legged Bigfoot with his arms on his hips in the distant field there. It's not a friend of mine. Is this how the internet works? Can I get away with this?"
So he's saying that this isn't his photo. He's saying that this has been passed on to him by someone who is trying to help him answer why all his chickens are missing. It's a new bit to the story. He's missing all his chickens.
Oh.
He says, "Don't know what to think here." He added in the comments, "I truly don't know, but I am remounting my game cameras in new pasta locations."
Right. So he does have game cameras, because I was going to say, these guys who have their stock missing, they should have cameras set up. But I guess if you're in an area where it hasn't happened before, and I'm thinking here in New Zealand on farms and things, you wouldn't have trail cams necessarily set up. But if there's predators, you do want to find out who is pinching your chickens and things.
That's true.
But he's remounting, so he does have them.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's setting up new ones. He does have trail cams and stuff, but obviously they were in the wrong areas. Where were they?
They were in the old pastures, because he needs to put them in the new pastures.
I'm new to Facebook, but I'm very good with trail cams. Or at least I thought I was, until I realised I didn't set them up in the right areas.
What a guy. He also says, this is the interesting part for me. He says, "My farm manager is completely freaked out by Idablo Yeti," the farm manager's words. "The farm manager told him, I can no longer work on your farm. And left."
Really?
I also love how it says the image is blurry, but it appears to show what looks like a figure standing behind a fence. It's difficult to gauge how large the figure is, but it does seem taller than the fence. And to Dan's point, he's eating the chickens, as many as 12 in one night. And they were up in a tree.
I've never heard of Bigfoot eating chickens.
No, same.
Bigfoot eats my chickens, as many as 12 in one night. That's a bit much too.
Yeah.
They seem confused though, because they're showing pictures of Dogman.
Yeah, well, Dogman.
Like there's an image we're seeing here.
That's right. Well, Dogman was appeared in the same area in Tennessee.
But does Dogman eat chickens is my question.
Oh, yeah. Good question. That wasn't Donnie who said that. That was somebody in the comments saying Bigfoot eats my chickens, as many as 12 in one night. Oh. And they were up a tree. So that's a comment from somebody else reading Donnie's story. So
is he saying that his chickens were found dead in a tree, or that his chickens live in a tree?
Yeah, it's not a great situation there, because A, chickens don't live up in trees.
No.
Or was he meaning that the Bigfoot was up on the tree? Bigfoot eats my chickens, as many as 12 in one night, and they were up in a tree. So he's definitely talking about the chickens there.
Yeah.
No, I'm not buying into that. I mean, chickens are ground-dwelling animals. Go back to the image. That was the most exciting thing.
Was it?
Oh, there's a close-up on it.
Larry, what?
Look at that. That's so bad.
Could this be Bigfoot?
I'm going to say right now, no. You know, I mean, that's the pose. It's so human.
It's so human.
Standing so upright.
Yeah, it's so good.
No offense to Donnie, if you are listening, I'm sure it's a full-on experience.
Well, that's the thing. We can't base it all just on that one piece of evidence he's got after a bunch of different sightings.
But here's the other thing, Buttons. Why that photo, right? Why just the one? Like, if you took that photo, there's got to be more.
Three or four.
It looks to me like he's taken a whole bunch, and that's the one that looks most like you could get away with it looking like a Sasquatch.
Yep. Well, just so we can quickly appreciate the great Donnie Hicks. I mean, this is obviously prying, but he's on Facebook. This is where he's left the comment. Ladies and gentlemen, Donnie Hicks.
Oh my God. There he is. What a legend.
He's amazing. And you know what? A lot of times, these characters, we do find out that possibly they were wearing a costume. Maybe they went out and that's what the shot is of the Bigfoot. I'm not saying that Donnie did, but the next photo in his archives does suggest that he does dress as animals from time to time.
Not only that, but I'll tell you this. He's got that long arm heading towards the hip where
he does.
Very similar to the Sasquatch photo that was taken. But in this one, listeners, he's dressed as a giant rabbit. So, yeah.
Wow.
My money's on him being the Bigfoot.
Beautiful. What do we put that down as?
That's a 4 out of 10.
Four out of 10.
Just for entertainment.
Well, just as a final call out that Donnie has put onto the Bigfoot Believers site, this is on August 10th. He has asked follow-up question to the expert feedback on a recent sighting in my area. As I try to position and hide cameras in the woods and creeks surrounding my land, what does a Bigfoot habitat like? Rocks? Caves, timber, what should I look for? Also, do they hibernate? So he's taking it seriously. He's trying to capture it on camera.
Good on him.
Like I said, a solid 4 on that one. Now let's do our own cryptid segment.
Weekly World Weird News.
Crazy, freaky, watch out.
The big news this week, guys, is definitely the Tasmanian Tiger reboot project.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sure you've all heard about this. There's a new multi-million dollar endeavor which will attempt to bring the extinct species back to life via genetic restoration.
Yes.
Everyone in the cryptid world is very excited about this because this looks like this is actually going to happen. So the thylacine, also known as the Tasmanian tiger, they went extinct. How long ago? It was about 100 years ago?
The last surviving one was one called Benjamin. Probably about...
That's cool to know.
And do you know why I know that? Is because one of the cryptid knights came over to two of your shows, Reese, Peter Luller.
Hi, Peter.
He's from Tasmania. And he gave me a gift to give to you. Hang on. Here, I've got it just here. Are you ready?
Yeah, we're ready. What is this? That is awesome.
A little soft toy. A thylacine.
Thylacine. Oh, my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, and although its name is supposed to be Benji, this one says that its name is Sammy.
Oh, cute.
He also brought me over a 6-pack of beer from Tasmania, which is from Buttons Brewery.
Oh, really? Cool.
And Dan, he gave you this, which is a beanie.
Oh, nice.
Now let's go back to the article.
Well, to your question before, is 1936, I think, was the last, supposedly the last known thylacine in captivity.
Oh, okay. It's all about the University of Melbourne. They've teamed up with US biotech company Colossal, which is such a cool name for a biotech company, in an effort to de-extinct the species and bring it back to life. So the university has received a $5 million philanthropic donation, so it could build a thylacine genetic restoration lab, having previously sequenced the genome of a juvenile specimen. So this is all going to happen, guys.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The project will involve taking stem cells from an extinct.
Stink. Now it doesn't.
So you know the word extinct.
Yeah.
Well, there must be a plural of that, which is extinct.
How many animals have gone extinct?
Well, it's true. I'm going to Google it. Hang on.
It may just be a typo. It could well be a typo.
Hey, Google, what is the plural of extinct?
According to Britannica.com, extinction, kestication, noun, plural extinctions.
What about extinct?
According to Wikipedia, extinction is the termination of a kind of organism or of a group of kinds, usually a species. The moment of extinction is generally considered to be the death of the last individual of the species, although the capacity to breed and recover may have been lost before this
extinct.
Point.
Hey Google, extent.
This is the definition of extent. The area covered by something.
No!
Yeah.
Hey Google, extent.
Is it extent or extinct?
This is the definition of extant. Still in existence. Surviving.
Oh!
There we go. Buttons, can you just edit all that out?
Sure.
So like I was saying, cells from an extant species with similar DNA, okay? That's what you got to do. That's remember they tried to bring the woolly mammoth back by using DNA from an elephant,
yeah.
Another pachyderm. So it's the same kind of thing, turning them into thylacine cells using modern gene editing techniques.
But I'm just wondering why we have the word extinct at all when we've got a good word like alive. Like, but it's a good, like if we ever do a tour, Cryptid Factor, extinct.
Yeah, instead of alive. So new assisted reproductive technologies would be developed to produce a viable embryo, which would then gestate inside either an artificial womb or a surrogate. And then it says actually producing a live thylacine, however, is likely to take some time, with the scientists estimating that the first could be born within the next 10 years.
That's not bad.
Yeah, and of course, if it does become successful, the work will pave the way for other de-extinctions in the future. I think we should set up a new company called Extinct to Extinct.
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
Now, it's from The Guardian, that pickup. But anyway, what are your thoughts on this, guys?
I mean, it's exciting. It's a whole territory of, you know, if we get this, what can we bring back? I think we've chatted about this idea before about, like, what are you bringing the animal into a world it doesn't know? You know, imagine if you really were a 1,000-year-old tree waking up and suddenly you're in the future. You'd be lost. None of your species is there anymore except two dweebs for some reason have survived.
As long as you guys were there, I'd be fine. Come on.
We're the two last extinct humans.
What a way to go.
I think it's cool, though. I'd love to see these old animals that we've lost and largely often killed ourselves. So it's a sort of return to a second chance.
Yeah, and I think it's worth doing, you know, it's using science in the right way because, you know, animals are diminishing in numbers.
Yeah.
And if we can do this, then we can keep them alive. We can add more to the numbers. And yeah, I know that new species are being discovered every year, but it's usually really tiny things. And for mammals, this is the big one, to keep them alive and to bring them back, especially something like this, which is such an exotic, cool-looking, unique species. It's a good one to start with. I know they talked about the woolly mammoth for years, and that still hasn't happened. Mm. And I think if it did, it's such a giant, worrisome kind of pachyderm with massive tusks and, you know, a fierce nature that it's kind of a scary one to deal with.
Mm.
But this little Tasmanian tiger thing, I think is... And by the way, when it says tiger, that, you know, it's not like that. It's just got some stripes on its back. It's not a cat at all. It really is a unique, more of a canine character.
Oh, really?
And I think it would be a cool one to start with.
How big is it then?
So it's the size of a dog, basically like a dingo.
Really? Wow.
And of course, it's a cryptid. So there is a belief that there are still some alive. This would be the first cryptid that we've officially brought back if you don't count the coelacanth fish because some cryptids are believed to, well, the whole point is that they are possibly still alive, but then you look at ones that are more likely to not be than others, i.e. the plesiosaur in Loch Ness.
Mm.
Imagine bringing plesiosaurs back, you know, these giant aquatic dinosaurs. What effect would they have on the infrastructure of animal life?
Yeah, that's the thing. Ecosystems.
The ecosystems, yeah.
And it's funny, isn't it? Because there's a lot of people, including our mate Pete Lawler, who are sort of worried about bringing these animals back, largely because their diet, you know, was sort of had gone extinct as well, like the thylacine ate the Australian emu.
Well, emus are still around.
Well, yeah, but one of the reasons why they actually, farmers hunted the thylacine out of extinction is because they went from eating emu to eating cattle and livestock.
Yeah.
Because there weren't enough emu around, so farmers started shooting them because to protect their crop.
Right.
So if we're going to bring these things back, are we bringing them back only to be in zoos, or are we going to release them into the wild again and have the same thing happen with livestock?
Yeah.
And if we're bringing them back just to have them in zoos,
yeah,
what's the point?
Yeah.
Why, just so we can look at them alive again, and is video not good enough?
And go, as humans go, oh, aren't we clever? Look what we've done here.
Yeah.
Cut to Jurassic Park.
Exactly. By the way, Buttons, you accidentally just said farmers brought them out of extinction, which means that they would have brought them back. I think what you meant was brought them out of extinction.
Extinction. Yeah. Exactly. Thank you. Did you know that there is actually a pelt of a thylacine that has been making its rounds? And this is one of the things they're looking for, DNA and what have you. And there's this pelt which is people have been trying to find, and it actually ended up in New Zealand.
Cool.
It was found in a canoe hire and taxidermy shop in Whanganui. In New Zealand.
Wow, cool.
So it's now in a zoo in the museum, National Museum of Australia, but somebody had to sort of come over to the canoe shop.
So wait a second. It was a canoe hire, also taxidermy yes. shop. So you come in and hire a canoe. Yes. Yeah, there's your canoe, mate. Do you want a stuffed rabbit with that? No, thanks. I'm just going kayaking with the kids. All right. Grab that polar bear on your way out if you want. No one wants that. 300. No, I don't want your big polar bear, mate. It's gross what you're doing with these animals. I just want to go kayaking.
It might get cold out there. Just that polar bear pelt keeps you nice and warm.
Yeah. I can't recommend the raccoon hat enough. I don't want your dead animals. All right, well, just to let you know, the life jackets, which you'll need to wear, are pure sea lion. All right? Oh, get this thing off me!
I thought you said when you said pelt. I thought you said pout. I was like, a thylacine pout?
Just the pouting lips just of a thylacine.
Yes.
That's the big cryptid news this week. There is one other quick one to mention, which I guess is the escaped alpaca, which sparked a Loch Ness monster sighting.
Oh, yes.
You remember that?
Yes.
Let's push play on this one. It's just an alpaca in the loch.
So what's the story of this? Is that some people tried to claim it was Nessie, or?
Yeah, so basically, let's have a look. Photographs of a long-necked animal in Loch Ness have been doing the rounds. This time, however, the animals in question were not elephants, as have been the case in the past. They were alpacas. It turned out that a small group of the South American mammals had escaped last week from a nearby farm and had gone for a walk along the shoreline, much to the surprise of locals and tourists alike. So people are always taking snaps of anything that's in the water.
Of course.
And there must have just been some escaped alpacas. I love these guys.
So good.
And they just cruised down to the shoreline and just went in for a swim. God, with their big long necks.
You can imagine what an alpaca in a loch looks like when you can't see the legs anymore. Once the legs are submerged, all you see is sort of a hump and then a long neck.
Yeah.
And a very sort of dinosaur-y looking head.
Yeah.
It's exactly like Loch Ness.
It's perfect.
It's brilliant.
It would have freaked people out for half a second, and then photos came in and then the videos, and then, oh, hang on. Oh, they've got legs. What's going on here? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just read this kind of small story, which I thought was interesting. It was on a website called Mysteries Unsolved, and this is from this month. 200 ancient giant skeletons unearthed in Cayuga, Canada.
Oh, wow.
5 or 6 feet below the ground, they're unearthed 200 giant skeletons, all nearly intact and in their well conditions. Now, what's curious about this, and I've only got this one small story here, so I need to find perhaps better sources, but this is in the township of Cayuga, which is in the Grand River, and it's the resident farmer of a place by the name of Daniel Fradenberg, who said that he'd unearthed these skeletons and that there was a discovery found of a string of beads around the necks of each of them.
Wow.
Stone pipes in the jaws of several of them, stone axes, And the skeletons were, some of them, measuring up to 9 feet.
Wow.
And most of them were averaging 7 feet. Now, as I say this, I'm desperately trying to work out if this is a parody website, because that sounds like this should be massive news, not just appearing on this website.
So these are definitely extinct, aren't they? They're not extinct. Just checking.
The red flag for me was you said they had pipes in their mouths, some of them. So these giants, like, what are they, just like they've got a pipe in their mouth again? You know what? I'm going to die in a minute. I'm going to have one last smoke, one last toke on the old piperoonie. Lie down here. You guys lie down next to me. Have a... Got your pipes? All right, this is our last breath, guys.
You don't look nice enough. Dress yourself up. Will you chuck some beads on or something? Yep.
Yeah, put some beads on. This is our last minute here. Haven't you got a pipe? You grab some beads. This is going to be big news in 1,000 years.
I can see why this isn't big news.
Okay.
Get it now.
There we go.
So they found it last Wednesday. But in 1915, that's the problem here. Ah, they put this right at the bottom of the article. This is ridiculous.
Clickbait.
So literally 1,000 years ago.
Well, 100.
What's a zero between friends?
Well, where are those skeletons now if they were found in 1915?
So they were deposited in this pit with a number of axes and skimmers made of stone in the jaws of several of the skeletons were large stone pipes, one of which Mr. O'Wardle took with him to Toronto a day or two after this was unearthed. Some of the thigh bones were found to be at least a foot longer than those present. No, long legs.
Long legs, tiny feet. Their feet measured approximately 1 foot shorter than a human foot today. That would make it a nothing.
Minus foot.
Now let's do notice board.
Notice board.
Did you notice it? No, I got bored. Notice board.
Just on the board this week, Mothman Festival 2022. That is coming up September 17th and 18th. And that is no Codrell Park. Shuttle services will be available. I read this and I thought the place was called No Codrell Park because of the way it was written on here. So I was like, that's at No Codrell Park. And then the next line said, shuttle services will be available. So I'll just reiterate on that. No Codrell Park shuttle services will be available.
For people like me, they should have said no shuttle services from Crodel Park.
I'm thinking there's a huge business opportunity here to set up a shuttle service, yeah. An independent shuttle service.
A big van painted with a moth on it, with wings on the side.
Yes. Let's do a live show at Mothman Festival. But it's in a shuttle bus, and we perform it as we're shuttling people from Crodel Park to the festival.
Yeah.
And we do a live Cryptid Factor show in the shuttle bus.
And so they've got no choice but to see our talk.
No choice. You've got two options. You come to our live show, or you walk from Crodel Park to the festival. You choose. And let's just hope it's raining, like really hard out raining, because people are like, oh, I really don't want to listen to that bullshit. But
Let's have a hose situation on the top of the van with massive sprinkler systems that just pisses down water in a 50-foot diameter around the van. So if you don't get in the van, you're going to get wet.
That's a genius.
Love it.
Genius idea.
You should get in the van, mate. There's a free show happening in here. It's raining out there.
It's raining real hard. No, it's not. Not yet. Buttons, hit the button.
God, I'm getting wet. Where's all this water coming from?
Okay.
Go to mothmanfestival.com and get all the details. In all honesty, apparently this one, the Mothman Festival, out of all the cryptid festivals, this is the best one.
This is the thing. Point Pleasant should be the gold standard of how to embrace your cryptid and actually turn it into a massive feature of your town, of your small town or your area. Having festivals, getting people in there, keeping the legend alive,
yeah,
and enhancing the story and getting people out to talk about it. It's amazing. And I'm sure if, as far as tourism dollars and what have you, it will be amazing. But probably more importantly, it will just be a lot of fun. It'll be a heck of a lot of fun. The people turning up there will be really, really cool. There's even, they've got a free Mothman app now. You can download the Mothman app for Point Pleasant.
Oh, that's cool. And you can find that in the app store.
Yeah.
The Mothman app.
Yeah.
Worth checking out. And the festival, of course, there's attractions, live bands, vendors.
Yeah.
Guest speakers.
Cosplay.
Yeah. I can't stress enough, though, guys, there is no Codrell Park shuttle services. That's literally the first thing that you see on the website. But, yeah, go to it. Celebrate the legend.
It's interesting that some of the experts and the speakers talking, there's everything from Mothman and the UK. Nick Redfern's going to be there talking about Mothman and the UK.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Lyle Blackburn's going to be there talking top 10 cryptids. There's also Joe Perdue and Ron Lanham talking about the UFO connection to Mothman, which is exciting. Also, Anthony and Dina Holmes coming to talk about that Amityville horror. So there's even haunting kind of stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, so and then movie screenings, it'd be a lot of fun.
Sounds great. It's a great career, isn't it? Like, if you look at the life that Nick Redfern has, you know, he pumps out a lot of books, and all the books are really interesting.
Yeah.
He's constantly just going and being invited to all of these conferences. So he's constantly meeting people at the top of the industry.
Absolutely.
Being able to push his stuff out. I mean, he's like a touring artist, isn't he?
Mm.
He's just on tour the whole time. I read that he was doing a paranormal cruise,
yeah.
You know, with a bunch of other like Eric Von Daniken's and stuff like that. Like, it's just what a cool life he's got going.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he puts the effort in, he writes the books and he goes on the adventures and he does the investigations. And that's the result of it, is that, you know, that's the career you build. And hats off to those guys. And a lot of them do wear hats, cowboy hats, Indiana Jones style hats, scarves. You know, they live the dream.
Scarves.
All right, well, that's it for Notice Board this week. Other than the fact that, Dan, you can give yourself another plug. When's your book coming out?
It's October 13th. It's out in the UK. It's out in America in January. And it's out in Australia and New Zealand in October, November.
Awesome. Can't wait. So
yeah.
When do we get our advanced copies?
Yeah.
You will get it as soon as I get a single copy. I will send you boys immediately a copy.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's a wrap.
Just remember, I just don't want people to forget that there's no Crotal Park shuttle services. I just worried people didn't get that message.
Yeah.
But no. You can park there because...
yeah.
I think we've made that a confusing point in this show now.
Yeah.
You can park there.
You can park there, but...
although it is limited spaces.
I've just realised the other reason why you actually put the notice board in is that it's only the 17th of September. Today is like the end of August now.
Yeah.
You have effectively just put a time limit on me editing this podcast. I have to get it out before the 17th.
Yeah.
It's like this information has to get out to the world.
That's why we invented the notice board. So it kind of gives you a time limit on getting your edit done.
You cheeky bastard.
Okay, guys. See you next week.
Catch you later.
That'll be lovely.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.